talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace and all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy. He said, I fought two wars, been married and divorced. What brings you to Ohio? He said, damn if I know. We talked an hour or two about every girl we knew, what all we put them through, like two old boys will do. We pondered life and death. He lit a cigarette, said these damn things will kill me, yeah. But God is great, beer is good, people are crazy.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Tomorrow, in time for the presidential debate, a New York judge partially lifted a gag order on Mr. Trump's hush money criminal case. ABC's Rachel Scott.
Trump, though, still not happy about this, calling it ridiculous, insisting that the gag order needs to be lifted entirely. He is still barred from going after prosecutors and their families ahead of his sentencing. Something the former president is also frustrated about, that there will be no live studio audience at that debate. He says it will be harder for him to gauge how he's doing, though aides and allies think it might keep him more on message.
The Supreme Court rejected a challenge to the Biden administration's communication with social media companies about what contents considered disinformation and misinformation. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich went on trial behind closed doors in Russia today on spy charges. Law enforcement sources tell ABC News that several people could be charged in the investigation into who gave Matthew Perry the drug that killed him. This is ABC News. House Republicans are stepping in to help former Trump advisor Steve Bannon stay out of prison.
Steve Bannon was convicted of contempt of Congress for ignoring a subpoena to appear before the Congressional Select Committee investigating the January 6th Capitol attack. As Bannon appeals that conviction, Speaker Mike Johnson says the GOP-led House will be filing an amicus brief to the Supreme Court in support of Bannon, telling CNN.
We think that's really important to do.
About the January 6th Committee.
We do not believe the January 6th Special Committee was properly constituted. We don't think it followed the House rules.
The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals upheld Bannon's conviction last month. Dave Packer, ABC News.
An ultra-marathon swimmer did something no one else has ever done before. Kate Pumphrey swam 24 miles from Maryland's Chesapeake Bay Bridge to Baltimore's Inner Harbor. She finished in about 14 hours. Pumphrey did it to spotlight women's sports and also the much cleaner harbor. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not a rate based on Terry who keeps and makes the car behind them. Oh no, they're about to. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Dead battery on America's birthday? America's number one battery destination is here to help. AutoZone has free battery testing and charging at every store, and batteries starting at just $79.99. With our 4th of July sale, we have savings to help you red, white, and do any other jobs you've been putting off. It's everything you need to get back on the road at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. One of the Lincoln Hills school workers critically injured after an incident there has died. The Lincoln County coroner reported the 49-year-old man died from injuries suffered in an attack on him and a female staff member Monday night. The coroner said the man was determined to be brain dead Tuesday afternoon. According to the Department of Corrections, the two were attacked by a 16-year-old following outdoor recreation. The 25-year-old female victim was treated for her injuries and released. Another staff member, also attacked by the same youth later on, remains in critical condition after hitting their head on concrete. A former Milwaukee school board member could see prison time. Aisha Carr was charged Tuesday with misconduct in office after prosecutors say she was violating state law by living outside the school board district she was elected to represent. A criminal complaint alleges that Carr continued to live at her old address outside of that district, though she filed paperwork and got a driver's license for a new address within the district. Carr was also charged with theft by fraud for accepting payment for holding the position illegally. Carr, who resigned from the school board in May, could see over 13 years in prison if she's convicted. Four candidates are named as finalists for Milwaukee Public Schools interim superintendent. The names announced Tuesday include the district's acting superintendent, Eduardo Galvan, MPS Northwest Regional Superintendent Dr. Tony Dinkins, former Green Bay School District Superintendent Stephen Murley, and Dr. Daryl Williams, who is the Assistant State Superintendent for the Division of Libraries and Technology. MPS Superintendent Keith Posley resigned from his post earlier this month after financial irregularities within the district were revealed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A dry, sunny, beautiful, and breezy day today with winds gusting up to 20 miles per hour out of the north, eliminating the humidity and keeping our highs in the upper 70s. With no rain in the forecast for tomorrow, too. Enjoy it. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 76.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Had a surge of momentum yesterday. We've got the CEO of The Effort on today's show with his reaction. And we'll also go over the long to-do list that remains before they start to dig. And it is a widely variable growing season. We'll hit both ends of the spectrum in today's Farmer Forum.
Live from the foothills of Hump Day via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Lee Blank from Summit Carbon. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Sherman Newland and Kevin Ross. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
You know, I'll admit I feel kind of bad about some of the things I did getting ready for today's Farmer Forum.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
What happened?
Well, there were people that I knew were going to be stuck right in the middle of the floods up in northwest Iowa, and I still asked them to make time to come on the show. Now, most of them couldn't. And believe me when I say I completely get it. We'll have you on sometime when it makes a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to get into that area like we did yesterday with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagg and get a feel for just how tough conditions are. So, Justin, Darren, there's others up there that I might have reached out to hop on the show today. No worries, guys. We will get you on sometime, and we'll talk about it. And just be safe, and, oh, man, look out for the family, look out for friends, look out for your communities up there as you're trying to take care of a dire situation in many cases. So, with that said, welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. How are you guys today? How are you doing, Davis?
I'm doing good. I saw a thing on Facebook, and it's a friend of mine from the local area I used to live in. Talking about some of the needs over there in the Spencer area for the flood recovery. I mean, we're talking flashlights, air pumps, sump pumps, you know, dehumidifiers and fans, heavy duty trash bags. This here post says that, and this is super local, but maybe your local area is doing something similar. The Parkersburg Fire Department, 5 to 6 p.m. every day this week, is taking donations. We're talking about diapers, you know, baby stuff. Think of, you know, everything that you had is washed away. What do you need? That's what those people need right now.
Right. Right. Very cool. Very cool. Thank you for doing that. And it's, like you said, there are other fire departments, other organizations that are going to be doing similar things across the Midwest, trying to help out those that are in need right now. Okay. Yep. We've got Lee Blank, the CEO of Summit Carbon Solutions, on the show today. I'm looking forward to I know what that conversation sounds like. Just because of timing, we had to record that. We've got it coming up for you next. It's a very good, and we tackle some of the controversial issues in the conversation with Lee coming up here in just a bit, and then we've got the Farmer Forum as well. All right. Let's get to the news.
Chip, National Weather Service weather outlook. Monsoon-like conditions will persist across the Four Corners region over the next several days. Heavy to excessive rainfall may lead to instances of flash flooding. Strong to severe thunderstorms are possible this afternoon across portions of the Great Plains. Lower Mississippi Valley and Mid-Atlantic, a heat wave continues this week from the Southern Plains through the Southeast.
Dude, did you see those storms last night over Southeast in Eastern Iowa?
Yeah.
Central Iowa.
That's scary stuff.
Oh, my God. They just sat there and continued to make rain and continue. There's still some rain down in Southeast Iowa and continued to make funnel clouds. I don't know if there was any, you know, maybe I've missed it this morning. I'm not sure if there was any serious damage down in that area, but just frightful.
Yep. Well, we're going to talk about this in the next seg, obviously, but the Iowa Utilities Board approved the Summit Carbon Solutions pipeline on Tuesday, allowing the company to use eminent domain to acquire land. Construction is slated to begin next year, aiming for operation by 2026. The pipeline, the largest of its kind, will transport liquefied carbon dioxide from ethanol plants in Iowa and neighboring states to North Dakota. The approval is contingent on securing necessary permits in South and North Dakota. The pipeline spans over 2,000 miles, including nearly 700 miles in Iowa, with 75% of the Iowa route's landowners signing voluntary easement agreements. Critics argue the pipeline benefits corporations at the expense of rural communities and poses safety risks without significantly reducing climate pollution. Whew, lots to unpack there.
Yeah, and it's all in an effort to... There are some updates to some of the things that everybody is reporting. You know, the 75% of the Iowa routes on the 700 miles. And that's kind of old information at this point, to be honest with you. And we'll get into that with Lee Blank from Summit Carbon in just a bit.
Good. Well, United Airlines Chief Sustainability Officer Lauren Riley emphasized the critical need for cooperation with the oil industry to make sustainable aviation fuel economically viable, citing the lack of infrastructure as a major hurdle. SAF, mainly made from recycled cooking oil and other sources like household waste, currently costs at least twice as much as traditional jet fuel. And finally here, USDA reduced its 2024 grocery price increase forecast, now predicting a 1% rise. That's down from the 1.2% forecast in May. Overall, Chip, food prices are still expected to increase by 2.2%, and restaurant prices up by 4.2%. Over to you, buddy.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Echo, Camp Editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Good morning, Chip.
So talk to me. We've got a lot of aerial applications of crop protection products that are going to be taking place again this year. What should people be thinking about as they get ready for the spray season?
Yeah, you're spot on. There are a lot of acres that are treated by our aerial application. In fact, all cropland applications in the U.S., 28% is done by an aerial applicator. Okay. Aerial applicators apply over 127 million acres of crop protection every year. And I really wanted to highlight maybe two big considerations that those aerial applicators are doing now, if they haven't done already, to gear up for this spray season. And first, they're ensuring that all of their applications are accurate, both crewed and uncrewed applications, right? So both by plane and by drone. They should have their spray patterns analyzed for their droplet size uniformity and effective swath width. And our friends at the Ag Aviation Association have a program called SAFE that do that. Second, all applications should use their wind directional buffer zones. This is especially important around waterways and organic fields. So a huge amount of consideration is put in to all of these applications. I do also want to highlight, while we see increasing conversations around what's possible with those unmanned drone platforms, the manned aerial applicators are still doing about 99% of all applications. So we appreciate all those talented and trained pilots up there. I was with a local farmer last night, and they've got a young person in their family who's actually going to be going to flight school. So a bright future.
All right, very cool. Yeah, there's a future for those aerial applicators, even with drones coming on, just because I think more people are going to be looking at aerial applications, whether it be by plane or by drone in the future. All right, Margie, good stuff. Thank you. Get more on that, www.thedailyscoop.com. Lee Blank from Summit Carbon up next. Alan Brady is the VP of Agribusiness Business Management at Everett Ag. Alan, who are your customers and what services do you provide?
So our customers would be ag, independent, or cooperative service providers. And think of our solution as a core application needed to run every aspect of their business, whether it be accounting, feed, fertilizer, grain, or energy. We have tooling to help manage their businesses.
Okay. There's so much variability in agriculture. How do you deal with the complexity of the ag business landscape?
We use mobile and web tooling to help empower the user to work outside the office. And we also add workflows to help streamline and automate as many processes as we can.
What are your thoughts on all the data that reside on these large business systems?
I think the key to utilizing data is twofold. Number one, retailers need to get insights off of it. So we have solutions designed to kind of give insights off of that data. I think number two, they also need to get the data out easily and effectively. So our platform offers an API solution as well as easy exports of the data out so they can share it with any partners.
Okay, so where can we go for more information about your ERP solution?
You can definitely find us at ever.ag, but you can also find us on LinkedIn, Twitter as well.
Thank you, Alan. That is Alan Brady, VP Agribusiness Business Management at Everett Ag. The Scoop Business Innovation Award is sponsored by Everett Ag Agribusiness. It recognizes ag retailers who demonstrate a digital transformation in their business. It will be awarded to a single ag retail location in the U.S. and its team, and the winner will receive two registration to the 2024 ARA Conference and Expo, entitled Powering Ag Retail's Next Frontier. It is December 3rd through the 5th in Houston, Texas, and the deadline to apply is August 1.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
AgriTalk is brought to you by United Animal Health, scientifically better animal nutrition. Learn more at unitedamh.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you are with us. We've got the Farmer Forum coming up at the bottom of the hour. First, joining us right now, Lee Blank, CEO of Summit Carbon Solutions. Lee, it's great to talk with you again. Welcome back to AgriTalk.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chip. I appreciate being on.
Excellent. Glad you're here. The Iowa Utilities Board, it took its time with this decision, but yesterday it approved the permit for your CO2 pipeline project. What does that mean now that the permit has been approved?
Well, again, Chip, there's lots of processes to our project, but permitting is really front and center for us as we move forward. And you know, Iowa's a very large piece of the overall footprint of our project. So getting the IUB to actually to approve, give us the order for the construction of the pipeline project in the state of Iowa, I think is extremely important. I think it demonstrates a commitment by the state of Iowa to the ethanol industry and to agriculture, and it also demonstrates a commitment to get these projects done in you know, to the other states as well, as we think about how we move the project now through the balance of the permitting process. So it's a very important step, Chip. It's not the last one. We're very thankful that the IUB was diligent in what they did. It's a big project. We understand that. It takes time. There's a lot of affected stakeholders and landowners. And so, frankly, it was a long process, but a very diligent one, and we appreciate the IUB for it.
Well, yeah, it was a thorough investigation into the whole thing. It took 3 years, right?
It did, close to 3 years, and again, a very active 3 years, as a matter of fact. And so, yes, it was a long process.
Okay, so what does this mean? Is it a green light to start digging in Iowa?
Well, again, we don't really have the ability to start digging in the state of Iowa until we have a project in a position that we can fund the project. And without the additional volumes in other states we will need, we are not going to be able to go out and fund this large of a project, Chip. So it's one step. You know, again, we've got to work through North Dakota and South Dakota as well and get those permit applications approved and underway. And so from that perspective, no digging as of yet, but yet a step towards the fruition and the maturation of the project for sure.
Yeah. Now, it's a controversial project across the board and across the states, but odds are North Dakota's looking pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, we would say that's true. I think North Dakota tends to be a state that considers what we're doing advantageous and something that they should be participating in. And so from that perspective, we feel good about the progress in North Dakota. We think it's going well. Where we're at, Chip, is basically all the hearings in North Dakota are finished. We finished the pipeline hearings several weeks ago, and now again, several weeks ago as well, finished the sequestration hearings. So ultimately, we're done with hearings in North Dakota. We are now just waiting on the Utility Commission and the NDIC and the Department of Mineral Resources in North Dakota to actually give us a ruling on the permits, one, to build the pipe, and two, to build the sequestration sites. So we're in good order there. South Dakota, Chip, will be resubmitting our application to the PUC in early July, and that process will then get started and move through its normal course.
Okay, and that will take time.
It will.
Yeah, there's no question that it will take some time in South Dakota. I don't know if it will be as time-consuming as it was in Iowa, but there will be some time before South Dakota can make a decision on that. Then let's see, the other two states of the five, is it Nebraska and Minnesota?
Correct.
Okay. What's the status there?
The status from Nebraska, and again, Nebraska doesn't have a utility commission, so the process is a little shorter in that state. So we don't want to call it phase two, Chip, but it's a phase that we can start later in the process. Once we've identified what the timeline looks like in South Dakota, we'll make a decision on Nebraska and when to get started. Minnesota, we have an active application on a small line in the northern part of the state. That will go into hearings in August, and we'll have our hearings for our pipeline construction permit for that small lateral and then get a ruling on that late this year. The balance of Minnesota will come almost in a phase two, Chip, as we move through it. Again, there's It's a long process in Minnesota, and so that process is, we're just going to be patient as we move through it. But, you know, our intent is to work very hard to service the ethanol industry in that Minnesota region.
Okay. All right. Of course, the big question that comes from all of this is what it does to the ability of Summit to use eminent domain on some of the ground that landowners may not want anything to do with the pipeline. What, clear it up for us on that, Lee. What does it do to the status of eminent domain?
Well, I think, Chip, that there's things in the order that we have to consider around eminent domain that I don't have a clear picture yet, since we just were delivered the order this morning. So I may have to be a little patient with my commentary on that and get back to you at some date in the near future. But know this, I think the attitude around Summit Carbon hasn't changed. We want to continue to work voluntarily with landowners. And, you know, Chip, we can do that right up to the very end, and we'll continue to do that right up to shovels in the ground. So we're very committed to continue to work on that strategy, which has been successful for us in the past. So we continue to think about how can we come to voluntary arrangements with the various landowners that we're going to affect.
Yeah. Yeah. As I understand it, and correct me if this number is off base or outdated, either one, but about 75% of the landowners in Iowa that you would need to do a deal with, you've gotten a deal done with. Is that about right?
That's correct, Jim. One thing to qualify on that is that that's on the base route, because, you know, with the expansion of the addition of Poet and Valero, we have additional laterals in Iowa. Those laterals now will have to think about the next permitting process to get those laterals approved in the state. And when you start thinking about the number of the amount of right of way that we have to work with on the new laterals, the it dilutes our current number down just a little bit, but on the base route, we were in excess of 75% voluntarily acquired.
Okay. All right. That's the status update on this project. Let's get back to the why. Why of the pipe? Why spend billions of dollars to build this system, Lee?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really, if you think about the ethanol industry and where a vast majority of it is, there just isn't the geology to sequester. So if we want to keep the ethanol industry competitive and we want to put it in a position where it can compete with other areas of the country that might be able to directly sequester, the five-state region that we're working in needs the infrastructure project. And it's a large piece of the industry, Chip. So we want to make sure that we put the appropriate infrastructure in place so that the ethanol industry can continue to grow across the five states that we're working on and can compete specifically into the new markets that are now demonstrating real viability as we move forward. And so, you know, ultimately, you know, the cost of production on corn, you know, it's not quite break even. I think it's a little bit less than break even for the U.S. farmer today. Just like the U.S. farmer has always done, Chip, we have got to find ways to open new markets and respond to those markets. And this infrastructure project is one of the ways that the U.S. agriculture is going to be able to do that. That's why it's so extremely important that we get it accomplished.
Okay. Lee, when a landowner questions the safety of the CO2 pipeline, what's the answer? What do you tell that person?
Yeah, everything, Chip, has some sort of small risk. And so I can't say it's completely riskless around our particular project. But the one thing we can assure the landowner is this will be the safest pipeline built in the history of the U.S. Technology will allow us to do that. And so ultimately, if you look at the safety record of commodity pipelines across the U.S., it is the safest way to move commodities just based on historical data and how safe pipelines have traditionally been. The great thing about our project is with new technology, we can take the next step on safety and even drive a much more, a greater safety environment around our particular company and project than even existed before. So you're taking one of the best industries and safest industries to move commodities, and you're taking that next logical maturation step up the curve of cautiousness and safety.
Gotcha. Real quickly, what's the soonest that you think you might be able to start moving CO2 up to North Dakota?
Well, again, it'll take us a year from the time we go into construction. And so ultimately, Chip, until I really know the exact timeline on South Dakota and when those hearings will be completed and we can get a ruling, it's difficult to say. We would think that by mid to late next year, we should find ourselves in a position that we could be thinking about construction.
All right, Lee, thank you so much for your time. We'll get another update from you in the future.
That sounds great, Chip. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. Thank you, Lee. That is Lee Blank, CEO of Summit Carbon Solutions. We got the Farmer Forum coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, Synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMregenerations.com to learn more.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. July milk up 6 to 1953, August up 32 to 2041, September up 46 to 2050, October up 53 to 2026. Live and feeder cattle markets and hogs all moving up, mostly higher. For the cattle markets, weakness in some of the corn markets, also expectations of higher cash markets as well, and higher boxed beef prices all supporting the cattle. Hogs higher on higher pork cutout values led by the bellies and some short covering due to oversold conditions. June live cattle up $1.95 to $191.42. August up $1.95 to $2.61. July hogs up 65 cents to $89.65. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets mostly lower. Warmer weather looks to persist into the beginning of July, but some parts of the Corn Belt will be wet in the short term. Soybeans moving mostly higher. The spread trade continues to firm ahead of the coming USDA crop report. Oil leading the product complex higher as well. Wheat markets mostly higher. Short covering amid oversold conditions, and there's still some harvest pressure as the winter wheat harvest is approximately 7 to 10 days ahead of schedule. July corn down a half to 425. New crop down 1 3/4 to 441 1/4. July beans up 7 3/4 to 1171. New crop down 1/4 to 1111 1/4. July wheat in Chicago now up 2.5 to 544 1/4.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory. But that's how it
goes. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Wednesday morning, which means it is time for the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. Sherman Newland, Southern Illinois, joins us right now. How you doing, Sherman?
Oh, doing pretty well, Chip. Doing pretty well. Thanks.
Good. Glad that you are here. We're going to get to you here in just a minute or two. Kevin Ross from Western Iowa by way of an airport someplace joins us as well. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, Chip. Doing real good. Yep, in Chicago Midway right now. Coming back from D.C.
All right. Well, safe travels to you. But holy smokes, dude. Your area, Western Iowa, further north, especially northwest Iowa, southwest Minnesota, South Dakota, along the Vermilion River, Nebraska, along the Missouri River. There's a million different creeks and rivers that have come out of their banks in your part of the world, dude. What's the situation?
Yeah, it's another round of major storms last night that went through home, and I just received a text. They're moving a bunch of baseball games because light poles at the field are down, and that's the kind of winds that we had. I don't think I've ever seen that one happen before. But you know, last time I was on here, we were talking about the tornado in Minden, and you know, shortly thereafter, there's plenty of you know, the worst one yet over Greenfield, not too far away, and man, just unbelievable. Yeah, hail and high winds last night. Lots of folks calling, turning in wind claims today on corn, and just all kinds of crazy stuff, let alone all the moisture we've had. We go from, you know, from the driest May on record last year to the wettest in a lot of cases right around home, and then June setting records as well. So pretty crazy.
Certainly is. No doubt about it. Start with the corn crop, Kevin. How's the corn crop handling it?
You know, until last night, we looked pretty good. There was, you know, early stuff really looked phenomenal once it finally hit that nitrogen that had gone down a little bit deeper with all the rain. Man, it started to look really phenomenal. And then, you know, even the middle planted stuff and the later stuff, I think, was doing really good. Had maybe a few stand issues here and there just because of the heavy rains, if you planted at the wrong time. And I had a couple fields like that where we had some seed that got moved around, which you hate to see, but with a 5-incher and those types of rains, you'll have that every once in a while. So, but really, that corn crop had looked really good.
Okay. And soybeans, how are the beans?
Moving along. You know, it's an interesting year. You had such a spread out planting season that you have beans it just seems like it's one of the longest planting season we've ever seen, just because we got started so early. So yeah. You got some beans that were just getting planted a couple weeks ago and some that were early beans that are not quite knee high already. So a huge spread and difference in crop.
Okay. All right. Sherman, does it sound like Kevin's talking about it? Does it sound like he's even talking about the same planet to you?
Not really. No, not at all. We've been extremely dry in southeast Illinois and probably the whole southern half of Illinois. You know, starting out the year, we were really dry. You know, got all our ammonia on early. But nobody was really pushing planting because it was cold. So we really didn't get started planting till middle of April, for corn and beans both. But then it drug out for 6 weeks. We didn't finish till right before Memorial Day weekend. So I've got corn now that's tasseling. Thank goodness that's under irrigation. But, then I've got corn that's not even, you know, mid chin high that we planted last and in wet conditions, you know, cause we just started getting rain, through the whole, you know, last half of April and the whole month of May. But then, you know, I was bragging about how good our corn looked, you know, the early stuff, the boy, it's got the best looking corn we had when I was side dressing, and then the rain stopped. After Memorial Day, we hadn't had a drop of rain the whole month of June. Now, yes, yesterday we had a tenth or two come through, but you know, when it's just dry, that doesn't really matter. So, I mean, the crop's all over the place down this way. We got guys in part of the county, that had rain that was missing on us, and they just got finished planting a couple of weeks ago, and corn's probably just, you know, two leaps. So, things have a long way to go around here. And, we'll see. The forecast does look like maybe it's going to change, but it needs to. Otherwise, if we go into July and we don't get any rain, we will be, you know, in a world of hurt.
Well, there is, like you said, there is some rain in the forecast for your area. And I think that's part of the reason that the corn market was under pressure yesterday, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I mean, there was rain on the radar. I mean, if you looked at the rain, I mean, you know, it's hard to rally when you're getting, you know, rain in that eastern part of Iowa, northwest Illinois, and then coming down through Champaign and whatnot. But the radar look was heavier than what actually fell. I mean, it looked like it was going to be heavy, you know, here, and then we ended up getting a tenth, maybe a tenth or two at that. So, yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah, yep, no doubt, no doubt. Kevin, I think the answer to this question might be pretty obvious to you, but let's talk about it a little bit. What do you need? What do you need for the corn and soybean crops over there, Western Iowa?
Well, we need Mother Nature to be a little bit nicer to us. But honestly, you know, we got a lot of moisture, sunshine, and just a good amount of heat. As long as we don't get the extremes, we're setting up pretty good, I think, from a crop standpoint around home for the most part. But you get these extreme events like we had last night, you know, at this stage in the crop, you know, if we can get past a few of these, that's going to be you know, we'll be sitting all right. But like I say, you can't really have you never have a summer where you have any, you know, go through it with none of those. And with these stages the way they are, with crops and like I said, all different stages from the spread out planting season, you know, that window is not just one little window for these type of storms that were, you know, where you have the chance at brittle snap and green snap issues. It's kind of spread out throughout the summer. So I don't think we'll be out of the woods, you know, for quite a while on these big winds and things like that, but we got to stay away from these, 70, 80, 90 mile per hour ones like there was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of times, Kevin, when I'm talking to somebody about, what's going on in these areas that are seeing some floods and too much water, that it seems like the response I typically get from them is, well, you know, there's more hills than there are valleys. There's more high spots than there is low spots. But some of those low spots that have, I've got to assume that they have drowned out and just there's going to be holes in fields all over the northern half of Western Iowa, right?
Yeah, I think so. I've talked to several folks up there and especially where, you know, where these rivers have come out and a friend of mine that farms right outside of Emmitsburg up there, you know, he thought he had 1,000 acres that'd be gone. You know, there was, he sent me a picture of one that he said that was a couple hundred in the picture that I could see. These rivers, you got a lot of great ground along those things and a lot of the high producing ground. If you end up with those things, you know, flooding out as long as they have or as much water going through there, you're going to have significant damage. I'm not sure how the market takes that yet. I don't think the market can really evaluate it at the moment either, but you know, certainly there's a lot of people who would tell you the same thing you just said, Chip, that there's a lot of good looking stuff out there that it rolls off of to the lower, you know, lower areas where it's going to sit. Yeah, we'll go into the other stuff, maybe takes it out. Although I know when you're going through the field in the combine, you get zeros coming in, you go through a hole, you know, and that yield monitor, man, that just, it takes a big hit in that average when you're going through a zero area.
Yeah, it does. No question about it. No doubt about it. Sherman, one of the reasons I love having you on the Farmer Forums is because you can come at these conversations from a couple different directions. You're also a professional risk manager. You're a broker. Has the market accounted for the things that we're talking about, the dry conditions in your part of the world and the some of the you know, we just heard from Kevin, a buddy up in Emmitsburg says he thinks he lost 1,000 acres of corn.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you're getting these high crop ratings, right? And they're definitely higher than what we were last year. And we had a 177, you know, record type yield last year. But that's all they're looking at, you know, is rain makes grain. And so, no, I don't think they're accounting for the damages. You know, I am curious, you know, how bad it is up in your area. You know, I definitely see the pictures and everything on Twitter and whatnot. And I farm long enough, and you get too much rain, that's just as bad as not having rain, right? So the 181 type yield, in my estimation, is off the table right now, because there's just so much variance, you know, not only here, but, you know, the East Coast, the guys out there are burning up. Kentucky's not good this year. We don't have everything hitting on all cylinders, in my estimation, but the market thinks we are, right? And we're also thinking we're going to have bigger acres. Whether those are out there or not, you know, we'll have to wait and see on Friday.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned it. We get the acreage report out on Friday, and we also get the quarterly grain stocks. Give us an idea of how the old crop's getting used up at that acreage number. I think that's where people are going to look at first, aren't they, Sherman?
In my estimation, yes. I mean, I don't think they're going to change the yield. It's going to be the acres.
Right.
And, you know, so if we can come in under that 90, close to 89, 88 and a half or something, I think that's going to be bullish the market.
Gotcha. All right, we are in the middle of the Farmer Forum with Sherman Newland from Southern Illinois, Kevin Ross from Western Iowa. We talked about it with Lee Blank, passage or the granting of the permit from the Iowa UB for Summit Carbon. What's Kevin's reaction next?
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Host of The Dirt, an economics podcast featuring down and dirty agronomic science to help grow crops and bottom lines. Here's a highlight of our latest episode. What are we looking at this summer? Every time I turn the television on, I hear something about La Nina's ending and El Nino is coming, and what's going on with that?
You're right about the planting pace. It was a wild mix this year. I mean, we've had people like the state of Iowa who have been extremely wet. They've had delays. While you have other folks in Iowa saying, oh man, it was just ideal and perfect. I got in at the right time. We saw some delays in some of the crop progress numbers in certain areas. But the reality is that I struggle with balancing the production delays and the delays of our work plan with hydrology. And the reality of it is that all of this wet weather we've had in the spring throughout a big section of the country has undone a lot of drought. Now, that's not everything. everywhere. If you go to central Kansas, you go down to the southern and high plains, not the case. They've been extremely dry. Even with some of the storms that have come through, they follow it with hot, windy days evaporating a lot of that water. So the central Kansas area into the panhandles of Texas, down into New Mexico, very concerned about that. We got wildfires already going in parts of Arizona. Now, you ask, where's this all going and how does El Nino, La Nina play a role into it? And I'll tell you something, your neck of the woods down in Mississippi, you remember last fall, you were in record-setting drought. That's all gone. It's been extremely wet. Some places in eastern Texas have had over 1,000% of normal rainfall in the last 30 days. And you could just stretch all that wet weather straight across the southern tier of the U.S., clear to the Carolinas. We've reduced drought area down to 13% across the lower 48.
If you'd like to dig deeper, listen to the full episode on your favorite streaming site or on our website, nutrien-economicswithak.com, and stay up to date with the latest crop nutrition research and news to help you make better business decisions. New episodes of The Dirt drop every Tuesday, so be sure to tune in weekly.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FBN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Atticus, providing battle-tested chemistries you know and trust.
Welcome back to the Farmer Forum here on AgriTalk. We are having a conversation with Sherman Newland from Southern Illinois, Kevin Ross from Western Iowa. Kevin, yesterday the Iowa Utilities Board granted the permit to Summit Carbon Solutions for, I guess, phase one, the base route. I'm not exactly sure exactly how to say it, because based on the conversation that we had with Lee Blank here at the start of the show, the CEO of Summit Carbon, it sounds like they've got to go back to the Iowa Utility Board for some of those add-on routes that were taken on by Summit after the Navigator closed its doors. It's progress for those that want this pipeline built, but there's still a long ways to go, isn't there, Kevin?
Yeah, I did a little bit of reading on it earlier today, and knew they'd gotten the approval, but it does sound that way when you kind of read what they've what they actually voted on and approved. So I do think it's a ways from being done. It seems to me like you got a lot of work yet to do on their end, but it is a positive step for the ethanol plants, I think, that are tying into it, and certainly the industry as you're trying to lower carbon and trying to lower those scores to keep ethanol moving.
Yep. Kevin, give me your take. How important is this?
You know, it's important, Chip. I think as you move forward, whether you like it or not, the world, is talking, continues to talk about climate change, and that discussion ties around carbon. That's the route that they've taken, and the horse that they've hitched to is carbon. And so that doesn't appear like that's changing anytime soon. So whether you agree or disagree with climate change or carbon scoring, I hate to say it doesn't really matter, because that's the way that the market is dictating that you view things. So if you're an ethanol plant, if you're anybody in the biofuel space and you're scored on a carbon index,
and has a number tied to it, you really have to think about how to lower that, how you can move the most fuel, and how you can make the most profit on it. So, you know, sitting on a couple of the boards that I do, in biodiesel and the ethanol world, you know, that's what you got to do to make money for your investors. So, you know, those are the decisions you make. Every project you look at has a score tied to it. And if you can reduce your score with that project, it makes you more profitable. So, the pipeline is one significant piece of that for ethanol plants, because you can lower that score in a big way, and lower that CI, that index, you know, to move your fuel to California or other big markets that are really, you know, those low carbon fuel markets.
Yep. Sherman, from your perspective, and I want it both as a producer and as a market analyst broker, same question. How important is this project to the corn market?
I think it's very important. I mean, I'm looking at this as we need the sustainable aviation fuel to use up our corn, right? We need to get that passed. We need to get it going. Otherwise, we're going to be swimming in mountains of corn because of the production that South America has. I mean, I sit on an ethanol board here as well, and we're actually going through this process. We don't have to go very far, but about 4 miles. And, you know, it's a long process to get this done, to do the, to, you know, put the carbon in the ground. But you got to get, you know, land rights. You got to get, you know, people to sign off on it. You got to get permits. Those things take a long time, if not years, to do. And then you got to build the project. So, I mean, but you got to start somewhere, right? So, you know, we're in the middle of this process as well. But, you know, once the ethanol industry, if we can get this done, can get to the lower carbon score, you got to have the plants to make it in airplane fuel, right? Airline fuel. And that's going to take time, but you got to start somewhere, right?
Right.
And I think, you know, as a farmer, you know, looking at this and what it can do for prices eventually down the road, I think it's something we got to have, but we can't do it the way the EPA tried to do it with the GREET formula, you know, here recently, you know, by making everybody do, you know, no-till and cover crops and the nitrogen process. So, I mean, they got to find a way. If they really wanted to, they could just flip a switch and say, yes, we're going to use ethanol. But, you know, they don't want to do that, right? So they got to make more difficult.
That is exactly right. If those that are making the rules didn't dislike corn-based ethanol as much as they've been conditioned to, then it would be easier to flip the switch. But it seems like, Kevin, they've been conditioned to, anytime it's corn-based ethanol, you got to raise an objection.
Well, that's exactly right. The way that they've done it for years, you know, excluding ethanol from corn in several different rulings along the way and making it just difficult at EPA, and really, I think, hamstringing an industry, you know, at several points along the way. It's been frustrating, and that's why we're out here, you know, and I'm out here in D.C. this week on behalf of biodiesel and the Clean Fuels Association, but I get out here as well for ethanol, and I tell you what, if you don't keep fighting the fight, you don't keep pressure on, you know, EPA and USDA and others to make sure that we're in the right spot, and typically USDA is on our side always on these issues. I think they do a good job, but and now you got, you know, these tax credits, you got commerce involved and other things that you know, other agencies that we typically didn't deal with. It's a big change, a lot of work to do,
and we got to figure out exactly what used cooking oil is.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, come on.
Exactly.
You know, the loopholes that are sought after, and we got to define what used cooking oil is. We're getting that process done. Kevin, good luck with it. Be safe in your travels, and good luck at home dealing with all the water, man.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Sherman, I hope you catch rain, buddy.
Yep. I hope so, too.
All right. We'll see you in August. That is Sherman Newland from Southern Illinois. Kevin Ross from Western Iowa, thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions, right here on AgriTalk.
Whatever crop you grow, we can help you protect it. Bootstrapped and ready to serve, Atticus delivers battle-tested chemistries, AIs that you've come to trust and rely on, from a manufacturer that strives to operate in a way that makes us simple. Our relevant portfolio is ready to protect your battlefields and livelihood. No matter the pest, weather, or politics, Atticus and your American farmer tenacity is battle-ready. Meet your ally, AticusLLC.com.
Small insects can become monster problems in post-harvest stored grains. Protect your grains with Gravista D insecticide, the ideal on-farm solution that combines an adulticide, Synergist, and an insect growth regulator. Apply as grain is loaded into storage to control these bugs and help reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain from monster bug problems with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions.